The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by Primetime Advertising Corporation and the law offices of Matthew Simone. The views and opinions expressed are solely those of the host and guests and do not necessarily represent KCBQ or its sponsors. It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist, Bob Siegel.
And this is Bob Siegel. So, you'd like to believe in God, but it's difficult at times to accept the idea that life is more than just randomness and chance. If God does exist, then you know your life would have a destiny. Most people prefer to believe they have a destiny. They don't like the idea that life is a mere accident. They don't like the idea that life is a mere shot in the dark, which would mean most people are actually looking for God. They may not think about it consciously, but when we're looking for truth, meaning, purpose, we're looking for God. Destiny has been a theme in the arts ever since the days of the ancient Greek dramas. Well, there's another drama that's been on television now for 6 years, and personal destiny is definitely the theme. A very popular drama. In my opinion, the best written, best acted, and best suspense I have ever seen on television. It's called Lost, and if you've ever tried to watch one in the middle without watching previous episodes, you are lost, so it's aptly named. But for those that have been following it for 6 years, Lost is winding down to its final stretch. And here to talk about Lost as the program enters its last lap is film critic and short story writer Mark Boubian. Mark, welcome to our program.
Thanks for having me on, Bob.
Always now, good to have you.
I always appreciate being on. And it's because of you that I'm actually here and a friend of ours, Richard, who convinced me to watch Lost. When we did our Avatar show, I had actually not even started Lost yet at that point.
That's right. I mentioned over the air that we were going to have an intervention with you if we didn't get you to watch it.
That's right. It didn't quite come to that.
Well, the intervention. So many times you've been on the show and you've found symbolism and things that the rest of us were never seeing. And symbolism is so much a part of Lost. Even I see the symbolism in Lost. The show just seemed like it was tailor-made for you.
Oh, thank you. Yes, it feels like it was, though I don't want to take all the credit because I started so late. They didn't write it just for me. Now, I usually like to sum up the movies that I'm reviewing when we talk about movies, but this is Lost. It's a little harder than most movies. So all I can say is Lost is about a plane crash on an island, and then nobody can figure out what's going on. After that,
except that they basically have done incredible things with flashbacks. And if you've never watched this, they are the best drawn characters, which I think is essential to a fantasy. What makes us believe in a fantasy, and I thought this was true of Lord of the Rings too, everybody else was talking about the special effects. If we believe in the characters, then we will buy into the fantasy. I think that's something that Lost has splendidly achieved.
Right, and one of the things that they had going for them is they took the time to develop the characters from the very beginning. So a lot of season one, you see individual characters, and there's quite a few. They spend full episodes on those characters, but they have the time to do it, and that's something that TV gives them the advantage to do. It's not like a film where you've got to get your characters developed as fast as you can and get onto the story and get moving. Lost, you know, you get the story and the character development all kind of rolled into one, and they can spend the time.
Well, that's a development that I think has been to the betterment of television, because in the old days, it was bonanza, and if Little Joe was in jail, we knew the other Cartwrights were going to ride in because the episode was only going to be on another 10 minutes. Right. And they always wrapped it up. And then I think it began with Hill Street Blues and then moved on with other things. They've certainly gone on and done it with the later incarnations of Star Trek and the newer Battlestar Galactica, and I know you were into Babylon 5, something that television has now that movies don't, and we've always heard that movies were superior, and perhaps they were for many years, but television does now have the chance to take its time and fully develop those characters, and that's everything. When I used to take playwriting classes in college, they would tell us that nothing was more important than the characters. They would say, you've got to create characters so realistic that all you do is come up with a premise and your characters will write the story, because given certain situations, if it's a real character, there are only certain things that character would truly do.
Right. They react a certain way to a
situation. Yeah. And so Lost has just done a beautiful job with all that exposition.
Right. And Babylon 5, I think, is credited largely, whether or not it's truly the first, but it's credited largely with returning to the non-episodic based TV show, where Babylon 5, you can watch all of season one at any point, but you have to start watching season two from beginning to the final episode of Babylon 5 with no interruption, because it's one story from beginning to end. Lost is the same thing, but they did that from the very beginning. You are watching a single storyline take place through a long period of time. Now, it weaves its way through different timelines and different characters and different things, but it's really one story. And that's, and they've just really done a great job at creating it, building it in that sort of structure.
I suppose we'd have to give Dallas some credit for bringing back the evening soap, but that was such a horrible show that I don't really want to give them that credit.
Yeah, and I don't even want to call Lost a soap per se, because it's not the melodrama. It's had its melodramatic episodes, but it's not melodrama, so to speak, that we expect from soap operas. So that's another good thing. Now, obviously I come on, you mentioned that I like Christian elements, Christian things in film, and certainly Lost has its lion's share of that. Now, but Lost actually forces me to draw a distinction between a couple of things, because usually when I'm on here, I'm talking about movies, and movies deal with thematic elements. I like to talk about thematic elements, and typically the Christian aspects that I would see in a film, those occur sort of below the surface. They're not right on top of the surface. They're sort of an underlying theme and underlying element. In Lost works on multiple levels with Christianity. First, there is the thematic structure, the symbolism, the Christ figure type of thing that I would talk about as a symbol. That character is not specifically Christ, but they play the role of Christ in a certain time in the show, for example. That would be a Christ figure. But Lost also, to its advantage, has really powerful and strong Christian characters and strong Christian settings. There are things that happen that are in the real world. There are real Christian people and real Christian things going on that are incorporated into Lost that we can see and that are great. Now, I'm going to take a little tangent here and talk about an episode I just happened to see a couple of days ago of another show called NCIS. Just flipping through the channels, I watched 1 minute of this, and the priest comes to the family and is telling them the father wants forgiveness, and had beaten the mother and whatever, left the family in the lurch years and years ago. The priest is saying, want forgiveness. And the grown girl asks, where was God when my dad was beating my mom? And the mother comes out and says, yes, father, I would like to hear an answer to that too. Now, I don't want to say those questions are not legitimate. What happened afterwards is what I considered to be not legitimate. The priest just stood there with his mouth wide open, silently, never gave the answer. They cut to a commercial, and then they come back. The priest is gone.
Well, that would be one of the nicer portrayal of priests from Hollywood.
Yeah,
usually the priest is some kind of criminal or
sometimes. So yeah. In this case, though, I mean, they're asking legitimate questions, but they're not really looking for answers. They're just looking to trash on this priest. Now, Lost doesn't do that. Like, I'm embarrassed by this NCIS episode. I'm embarrassed to be a Christian. I'm embarrassed to be associated with anybody in the priesthood. If priests were really like that, that would be a horrible thing. And, you know, I'm sure there are, but still, that would be just a horrible thing. Lost, you see priests, you see monks, you see people that are struggling with their faith, you see people that are scientists, you see all kinds of people, and never do you say, wow, that guy's an idiot. And I am embarrassed by that.
No, it's a very positive portrayal of religion.
Yes.
Very positive.
So in that sense, so there's Christian symbol, there's Christian reference or direct Christian setting, Christian scenes. So there are both of those things going on in Lost, and that's one of the things that I really like about it. Now, I think one of the best things about Lost, one of my favorite characters in Lost is this guy Desmond, who's not one of the original characters. They're bringing him on later on, but
season two, he joined the show.
Season two, okay. You know, I watched these actually all at once. I got the Blu-rays.
It's all one blurry season.
Yeah, so I didn't have to worry about the season distinctions. I could just watch all at once. Now I'm suffering through the, I have to wait another week, so, but it all blurred into one. Now I know it's season six, but Desmond is this great character because he's been in a monastery. As the character plays out, he calls everybody brother, and the term brother is an endearing Christian term, and you get the sense that he's using it in that regard, and he cares about people. He tries to save a character over and over again. He meets the main character Jack, at some point. Excuse me, and. He actually says Jack's struggling with some issue, and he says, you need to lift it up. And Jack's got a hurt ankle at that moment. And then Jack says, what? And he says, lift it up your ankle. But the implication is that he really meant lift it up in the Christian parlance, which means lift it up to God, pray to God for a solution to this problem that you're dealing with. So we have this really interesting character early on in the series. It's a Christian. There's another one, this black lady named Rose.
Oh, she was a very strong Christian character.
Yes, and so she has faith, and we see her faith played out in the series. Now, she actually is a good contrast to another character, Locke, who's one of the primary characters who has faith as well, but his faith is a little more blind faith. He's
just
blindly accepting.
It was like
faith
in something, and he never quite knew what his faith was in.
Exactly.
In many ways.
Where Rose specifically had faith in God and trusted in God. And there's a scene where somebody, Charlie, another character, but there's a million characters in this show, so don't worry about keeping track of them if you can't. But Charlie comes up to her and says, you know, he's struggling with something, and he says, I need help. And she says, well, why don't you ask for help? And he looks at Rose and says, well, can you help me? And she says, I don't mean me. Right. And they start praying right at that moment. Really on screen, full on praying. And to me, I mean, it's not embarrassing. You don't even have to believe in God for this to be, you know, a real moving moment. Because he's really seeking something. And he's, you know, he's struggling with something. So those are really good upfront direct portrayals of Christianity. And those are the things I really was proud, and as a Christian, to be watching the show at that moment, as opposed to this NCIS example where I was embarrassed to be a Christian. Now, along those lines, that plays into where it starts to creep below the surface slowly as time goes on in the series. We see kind of these Christian aspects make their way into more thematic elements. A really good example is, again, with Charlie. He is actually a believer, and he's tempted away from his belief into rock and roll. That's not something to say against rock and roll, but it's his temptation.
And drugs, okay.
But his brother, in a church, convinces him to join the rock band and to, in a sense, you know, turn his back on his Catholic faith.
Okay, let's put a hold on that. I'm with film critic Mark Boubian. We're reviewing the phenomenon called Lost, only a couple of episodes left. So Mark and I will probably date ourselves right away with some of our loopy predictions. But mostly we're talking about themes in Lost that I don't think will date themselves. Christian themes. We'll be right back. To build your own website without a lot of cost and trouble? Hi, I'm Bob Siegel, here to tell you about Web Studio. Web Studio allows people to create their own websites simply and easily without knowing HTML. With Web Studio, you avoid the learning curve of front page and the expense of a web designer. Web Studio has 14 different galleries that contain graphics, sounds, and everything else you need. For more information about Web Studio, go to webstudio.com.
As if you haven't figured it out by now, Bob is mildly opinionated, about the ultimate issues of life. But Bob also respects the opinions of others. To offer your own viewpoint or to challenge Bob with a thought-provoking question, give us a call at 1-888-344-1170. 1-888-344-1170. You can also reach Bob through Facebook, Twitter, or questions@bobsiegel.net.
Welcome back to our program. I'm here with film critic Mark Boubian talking about Christian symbolism in Lost.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, Bob. And we were talking about a character named Charlie who, by his brother, is tempted away, actually in the church. He's in a church, literally, when his brother comes and convinces him to join the rock band. And his brother tells him, "You're a rock god. You're going to be a rock god." And tells him all of the things he's going to get, like sex, drugs, and rock and roll, basically, is what the temptation is. And they become the successful rock band prior to the plane crash that strands them on the island. So Charlie gives into this temptation, and he's struggling with drug addiction early in the series. But one of the first signs that we get that there's more to this island that's going on below the surface, there's two things that happen. There's actually this monster that we hear early on that we find out is now known as the smoke monster because he's a big thing of smoke. But the other thing that happens that's a sign that there's a little more to this than meets the eye is that because they haven't been rescued in a long time, they find shelter in a cave, and Charlie is up at the cave, and he becomes agitated and angry because he hasn't had his drugs, and he yells at Jack, the main character, "I'm a bloody rock god," you know, in his Scottish accent. And instantly, the cave collapses upon them. So it's a reaction to what he said. Now, obviously, I'm interpreting, but it was, I've watched this episode a couple of times, very clearly in response to what he said, "I'm a rock god," the cliff caves in. Now, if we go back to the Bible, there's one thing that God really does not like that we hear about throughout the Old Testament. He calls himself a jealous God. And when there are other gods, but I think even worse, when people claim to be God, that is something that God is not very happy with.
God's never been too fond of that.
No, that's, not
that's
at all.
It's not on his list of favorite things.
So there's a suggestion here that there's some spiritual thing going on at this moment. Now, Charlie actually redeems himself later on in the series. He sacrifices himself, and Desmond actually plays a role in this. But what's interesting about the scene prior to Charlie's death is that he goes to every person he knows and he says, "I love you." And he tells, there's a child in the movie that is, it's in the show, that's not his child, but he's, the child's born there, and he likes the girl that was pregnant with the child. But he loves the child, and he comes to the child, and he says, "I love you, Aaron," and he gives him his ring. And then there's another character who everybody likes, I think, across the board. His name's Hurley. Charlie actually walks up to Hurley, puts his arm around him, and says, "Just remember, I love you, man." And he says this multiple times, "I love you," to these people, because he knows he's going to go die. And the most important thing that he's telling them is, "I love you." And his sacrifice that he knows he's going to make is one of love. And he is making the sacrifice willingly. And when he finally does die, you see him with his arms sort of spread like a cross. Now, I'm not
and
sure
also,
if that's...
Charlie was portrayed in certain places in early episodes as being kind of a coward and not having a lot to offer. So this
Correct.
Was very pertinent for him to be able to
exactly.
offer his life like that.
And he actually has a line, "At least I'll make my pathetic existence worthwhile," because he's unhappy with the way he's spent his life.
Right.
And so this sacrifice, though, is symbolically, he seems to take the role of the Christ figure because he believes that his death, a loving sacrifice, is going to get the people off the island. And that doesn't come completely true, but it does come true to some extent. So it's not exactly the way he expected. But still, he went there making a loving substitutionary, in a sense, sacrifice for the other people. So here we have this Christ element play a role in the show, and it's one of the most famous scenes in the show. He writes on his hand a message to Desmond, and that message is a very imperative moment in the show. So there we have kind of we're moving below the surface. We see the good aspects of Christianity playing a part in actual characters, and now we're moving into the thematic elements of the show. So it's working its way more below the surface. So, like I said, Lost has Christianity play a role at multiple levels. It's not simply Christian symbolism, nor is it simply Christian people running around, or there are some Christian people running around, I should say.
Well, also the character Mr. Echo actually was a priest.
A great
example.
His brother had been a priest. He was not technically a priest.
An unorthodox priest, but yet eventually became a real priest himself.
In a sense, he actually took his brother's place. He was not an ordained priest. At least we are not shown that.
He was one of those characters I was sad to see leave the series.
That's right. And he was a very faithful man. He was a guy who, not perfect, and as we learn in his backstory, actually did some very evil, terrible things, but who did seem to love God at a certain extent and love Christ and really want to serve God and serve Christ in his life after the death of his brother, who was a priest, as you mentioned.
Well, that would remind us of another theme of this show is redemption. A lot of them have sordid pasts and really deal with them. The guy that just seems pure from start to finish is Hurley. I mean, Hurley's just kind of a...
That's right. He never seems
to have any personal agenda. He's just a nice guy. But the others all have skeletons in their closets and just a lot of things to work out. And redemption just seems to have a lot to do with this show.
That's right. It does. And... I you know, Lost, the title works in so many ways because they're lost on the island. They can't be found. They're lost because they're troubled souls. They're lost because there's this, many of them have terrible relationships with their parents, typically their fathers. So they're lost in that regard. Then there's the crazy mother syndrome that kind of pervades. We see that in three different mothers that are on the island specifically. That kind of pervades the show as well. So there's these elements that sort of the name Lost also works at multiple levels. It works at not just a name, that's the show, they're lost, that's specifically what's going on, but as well as below the surface, the thematic stuff you see being played out. It's a very complex show. And again, that's one of the great things about it. They've had so much time to build this complexity and to build the thematic elements. Now, another thing that I really appreciate about the show, and maybe one of the things I appreciate the most about the show, is that they take on the tension of science versus religion very well.
Yeah, it's a supernatural thriller, and yet there are some things they explain with science and other things they don't. It's very well done. I'm joined today by film critic Mark Booby, and if you're just jumping in, any Lost fans out there, we'd love to hear from you. We're sure you're following this because we're down to the last couple of episodes. People have been very connected to this program for 6 years, and it is coming to an end. And we hope they don't make a dumb sequel called Found. We hope they really end it because that means it has integrity as a story. We'll be right back. Bob Siegel. They say a man's home is his castle. So when it comes to the wiring of your house, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. Instead, do what I did. Call W&S Electric Incorporated. W&S specializes in both contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, W&S takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I know the owner, Wayne Klingenhofer, personally, and I can testify firsthand to his integrity. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for W&S Electric Incorporated, license number 480539, W&S Electric.
We now return to the Bob Siegel Show.
Our program, film critic Mark Boobian is going through some of the Christian symbolism in Lost.
Thanks again, Bob. Now, I mentioned the tension between science versus religion. For me, I'm a big science fiction fan. I've read science fiction forever. I'm very involved in discussions on the internet about things that have to do with science because I have a degree in computer science, for example. So I'm very science-minded, but also, as you should probably have noticed by now, I'm also a Christian. So I mix in my own life, I have these two elements, the science and the religion, and I'm able to blend the two very well. And Lost blends them well too. And I think that's good because throughout my life, I've seen science fiction, for example, science fiction novels completely deny the existence of God and just pursue science as story writing. And it's not to say there's anything wrong with writing a story that doesn't have anything to do with God. I'm not condemning science fiction in any way. I am just pointing out that that's the way science fiction novels have gone over the years. And actually, in more recent novels have taken actually a what I would call a antagonistic approach to religion, where I've read a couple of books by old-time authors who have written newer books that actually cast the religious people in a negative light, and they are the villains of the stories quite often. I've read at least three books in the last year or two where that occurred. So that's sort of a sea change. And of course, if you ever get into a discussion with anybody on the internet about science and religion, you will always see this kind of battle going on between the two. It's either science or it's either religion. You can't mix the two. And you know, people that are science-minded want proof, and people that are religious, they believe in faith, and there's no working those two out. And the sad thing is there is a way. It's just that we are not speaking the same language. The language isn't proof. The language should be evidence. The language shouldn't be faith. It should be faith with a capital F, as discussed in the Bible. Faith today means blind faith, as opposed to the faith that the Bible talks about, faith based on evidence. So Lost has done a good job of presenting both the scientific aspects and the faithful aspects. And there are things that have a scientific explanation in Lost, but have a spiritual significance as well. So they're showing that the two can be blended. This is sort of an underlying theme of the show, in a sense, I would say. For example, the island has these magnetic properties, and it is found, you can find the island by some kind of, you know, these equations and this study of magnetism, and you can find where the island is. And the island can cause time travel and other things to happen because of the magnetic properties. And yet there is this spiritual aspect where on the island there is this smoke monster that we already discussed. He is, in a sense, the devil. He plays the role of the devil. We're even told at one point that the island is the cap, sort of the bottle cap, over hell. Hell is below, and the island has sealed in hell. And if the devil, if the smoke monster ever escapes, it's as though Satan, the devil, has escaped from his prison. So there is both the science and the spiritual explanations that work their way through Lost. And that's a really positive image, I think, for today's society, because we are really divided. We're very broken apart on this issue, but here's a show where you can blend the two very well. And actually, there are people still, though, that want, oh, I liked the scientific stuff, the Dharma side, which is a group of people that found the island based on science. Ironically, they're trying to create a utopian society, which everything Christianity teaches you can't do without God. But let's ignore that for a moment. They found the island based on science. There's groups of people that, I like that part. I don't like this Jacob and Smoke Monster stuff, because that's the spiritual stuff. And then there are people that are exactly the opposite, and there's sort of these battles going on. And
well, it's interesting, because I had an atheist friend admit to me once, and he was very honest. He even did this over the air. I asked him if his love for science fiction, because this guy loved science fiction from comic books to novels to movies. There's nothing he hadn't seen or read. And I asked if he was trying to fill a void left open from not believing in the supernatural. And he admitted that that was absolutely true. So I find that interesting, that even the people that are into science fiction who would deny God, the deeper question is, what is it about science fiction that you like? Is it because there's a sense of awe and a sense of we're not alone and a sense that there's something else out there?
Right. And there's a lot of science fiction books that even go further than that and try to explain where our origin.
2001.
Exactly. That's a perfect example. Even more modern books where there's things about alien, you know, there's lots of different stories that have to deal with our origin or where we're headed in terms of evolutionary science, where we're moving on to another being of sorts. Even Babylon 5 dealt with that. And I would say Babylon 5 was also a very Christian-oriented story, but that's partly because it's based on The Lord of the Rings, which, as anybody that would study seriously, honestly, would know that Tolkien wrote it as a Christian myth of sorts.
Wait, Babylon 5 was based on Lord of the Rings? You mean
yes.
Indirectly inspired, or are they trying to put it in the same world as Lord of the Rings?
It's actually, no, not in the same world.
It's not in the same universe.
I guess
Lord
the
of
way
the
to put it is, it's Lord of the Rings in space. So
like when they called Star Trek Wagon Train in space.
Yeah, so something like that. Right. But it's more, okay, a little bit more direct, because there's,
all right,
you know, there's specific characters who are that guy in the Lord of the Rings and this guy in. So anyway, that's one of the things that was attractive. I think Babylon 5 was a better Lord of the Rings movie than the Lord of the Rings movies, to be honest. But you know, back to Lost has done a very good job of doing the same thing, where they're mixing science and religion, and they're giving us an explanation. And I think that if you do approach it from an atheistic point of view, you can see the scientific aspect of explaining and making the world better and all of those desires in the human heart coming to play, even from a purely scientific point of view. But
well,
like
they're
I
smart
said,
to appeal to both, because I mean I know women who normally hate science fiction and normally hate supernatural thrillers, and they love Lost because of the relationships. And then you're talking about the science and the faith people being bridged. It's really truly a something for everybody show.
It is, yeah, it is, unless you're wanting a romantic comedy. If you're a romantic comedy person, it's
not. Oh, but
not
I don't know, but gosh,
kind of
there's lines in Lost that are funnier than a lot of romantic.
Yeah,
Sawyer and
yeah, Sawyer's hilarious.
Miles, and, they've got some of the best one-liners I've ever heard.
Yeah, but you got to go a long way to get to those lines.
Well,
so
my favorite was when Miles kept explaining time travel to Hurley. Oh, Hurley just wouldn't get it, and he goes, "You're not paying attention, you dimwit." And then later on in the episode, while they're walking out the door, Miles turns him and he goes, "Hey, ask me some more questions about time travel." And you realize he was enjoying it the whole time.
Or when Hurley's like, they actually do go back in time in the storyline, and they're in the 70s, and you see Hurley writing, and finally they figure out what he's writing. He's writing The Empire Strikes Back.
Yes, because he figures it'll become a big hit.
He knows it will.
He says, without the Ewoks, because Ewoks suck, dude.
You're right, the Ewoks suck, let's just
Well,
face
but
it.
You know what was really brilliant about that episode is early on, it was a Miles flashback. His mother was watching the movie Some Like It Hot with Tony Curtis. Then we go to Hurley writing The Empire Strikes Back, which takes place in the beginning on the ice planet of Hoth. The name of that episode was Some Like It Hoth.
Oh, so that's funny.
Even the titles of the episodes are brilliant, but not as brilliant as our commercial breaks, and we will be right back. Good projects don't just happen. Good projects are a result of a team of dedicated professionals, owners, architects, and contractors striving toward a common goal. Make OMP a part of your team. If you're looking for professional, knowledgeable experience for your construction project team, Oso Miller Pacific should be your first call. For over 20 years, Mark Miller has been providing project management and constructive services throughout San Diego and Southern California. As president of Oso Miller Pacific, Mark continues this tradition of providing the most professional services in the industry to the healthcare, commercial, and government construction markets. Oso Miller Pacific provides a full range of pre-construction services, including definition of needs, design team selection, concept budget generation, and construction services. This full range of services is what sets Osso Miller Pacific apart from its competition. Visit their website at osomillerpacific.com. That's www.osomillerpacific.com or call the offices at 619-449-0633. Again, the number is 619-449-0633. Good projects don't just happen. Call Osso Miller Pacific. Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show. I'm joined with my friend and film critic Mark Boubian, looking at Christian themes in Lost, which is approaching its last couple of episodes after a six-year run on ABC.
Yeah, and Bob, you had just mentioned the title of the one episode, which is somewhat comical, but there's another episode, one of the early episodes, that was called Man of Science, Man of Faith, which is sort of what we're talking about now, where Jack... the main character throughout the show. Yeah, he's supposed to be the man of science in that episode. And then Locke is the man of faith, the man of sort of blind faith who doesn't know what to have faith in exactly. What's interesting to me about the show also is over time you can take a character like Jack who is very strictly, you know, things can be fixed, I'm a doctor, there are specific rules, there is no breaking these rules. Science is a hard and fast thing, and he would not ever accept any faith-based or faithful explanation of anything. He's moved over the 6 years to a very different attitude.
Well, being thrown back through time for 3 years probably had something to do with it.
Right, and right, he can't explain that.
Yeah, exactly.
And so but the progression of the character has been very slow and gradual, but it's happened, and that's one of the things I like to see in a movie or a book or a TV show is to see a change in a character and one that they're specifically directing. Jack actually says a line, "I've been trying to fix it all my life. Maybe I'm supposed to let go." This is almost like an expression of faith or as close as we get with Jack at this point in the show. And this is I believe it's this season. I didn't write down what episode it was, but it's one of the more recent ones where he's illustrating that, look, I don't know what's going on. And to even just admit that is almost like an admission of faith for this guy. So there's to see this transition is a really, really great thing. There's some other great character moments that I have written down throughout the show. Like for example, there's two spiritual beings that are the kind of heart and soul of the show that we learn at the beginning of this season. We really get to know them. They're the Man in Black and Jacob. And Jacob is murdered by a very sinister character named Benjamin Lioness. He's an awesome character, but he murders Jacob. He murdered Locke. He's killed many people. He's shown no remorse. He does things to do them. And yet there's this moment where he actually shows real remorse. And this woman has a gun to him. He admits to killing Jacob to this woman. This woman is supposed to be protecting Jacob. She's failed in that task. She's got the gun on him. She's going to judge him. He deserves to be judged. And yet, because of the honest remorse that we see in him, because of the death of his own daughter, she actually forgives him, and they move on. And he's still, Benjamin Lioness is still in the show. The woman is not, unfortunately, but nothing to do with what Benjamin Lioness.
Well, you know what else? The other thing that I found very moving about that episode is in the flash sideways, Ben knows his daughter not as his daughter, but as a student in high school, and he's a high school teacher, and he has an opportunity to blackmail this principal and put him out of a job and take his job, but he knows the principal kind of has some wild cards, and he knows that if he does that, this woman that he's grown to care about is going to lose her scholarship. So in both timelines, he finally does the right thing. And both times, his repentance is based on his love for this girl.
This girl, yeah. So he is, and you've never seen him care about anybody.
No, never. He's always cared about nobody but himself.
Right. And so this is a great thing to see in the show. Again, something you can do in a TV show that you have the time to do. But yeah, that was very moving and very powerful.
I think I like this show even better than Con Air, you know?
Yeah,
it's even
too.
Better than Con Air.
I would actually go out on a limb and say yes to that. And I bet the rest of the world would too. So that would be my prediction. I'm not big on making predictions for Lost. I will make that prediction.
It's probably better than Con Air, yeah. Probably.
So, but now there again, there I could go through many, many instances where we see kind of Christianity make its way into the lower thematic elements. There are a lot of scientific things that happen too. I haven't discussed those, and I'm not necessarily going to because I don't understand them all. I'm not a physicist. I'm a Christian, so I'll talk about what I know. But you could have someone else on the show to talk about the physics of Lost because I'm sure there are people that are interested in that. One of the other aspects of the show that's symbolic is the names. Every name pretty much in this show is significant. For example, Jack is named Jack Shepherd.
Shepherd, yeah, that's a pretty obvious one.
Yeah, Shepherd as in Christ, who is the shepherd. His father's name, even more obvious, is Christian Shepherd. John Locke is a theologian. John Locke is the person we've been discussing with the blind faith here.
I had forgotten about the theologian John Locke. That's an interesting.
Yeah, I actually, that was the first name I recognized.
Or a philosopher, at least, yeah. You'd call Locke. Yeah.
A philosopher,
Berkeley, human,
yes.
Locke, the empiricism. Yeah.
Yeah. And then Juliet is a character. That's from Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet. Very obvious reference. Penelope, who is married to Desmond, I've already mentioned. He is lost, and she's looking for him. And she spends years and years and years waiting for him to come back, seeking him out. Exactly the role that Penelope plays in Ulysses, in Odysseus. She's Odysseus's wife, Penelope. There's Faraday and Hawking, two characters. Faraday is a nuclear physicist. Hawking, Stephen Hawking, wrote A Brief History of Time. Hawking is Faraday's mother in the story. Faraday's the physicist that explains sort of the time travel elements of the show. So he actually is the physicist and has the physicist's name. So those names, all the names are very significant.
So what does Kate Austin mean?
I actually have not figured that out. I keep thinking it's Jane Austen, the author. So I suspect that maybe, because I keep thinking
of her.
Or
another Steve
Jane.
Austin being on the run.
Yeah,
but $6 million woman.
Right. No, spelled wrong. Yeah, it was
a little bit of a stretch.
Jamie
there.
Summers is the bionic woman. So you'd be a little off on that one. But so I'm not going to go out on a limb on that one. Okay. I think also the most significant character, and this is coming into play more now, they're moving away from the pure science into the mythology. We still see science playing a role. Even in the most recent episode, science, actually, you see scientists, old-time scientists in this episode, but it's building the mythology of Lost. And I actually like to call Lost a Christian myth. It's in the, we've already mentioned the Lord of the Rings, but sort of in the vein of Lord of the Rings where there is a Christian subtext, there is a Christian text, so to speak, both levels working in Lost, and I would call it, they're building more of a mythology.
Well, you know, they could,
show.
They could, I mean, I joke about how I would hate to see them make a sequel. They could have some series about the mythology that serves as kind of what the Silmarillion did to the Lord of the Rings if they wanted to. There's so much back theology or back mythology to this, which I wonder
right.
how they're going to wrap it up.
I don't think they're going to explain it all. They've said they won't.
They would be wise not to because it'll have repeat watchability if we still have questions. Well, we'll continue with our questions when we return.
If you enjoy listening to The Bob Siegel Show, check out Bob's daily blog on townhall.com. Bob is also a regular contributor for San Diego Rostra and San Diego Newsroom. And don't forget his website, www.bobsiegel.net. Here, you download past radio shows, read Bob's many articles about Christianity, and get information about Bob's books. That's www.bobsiegel.net. bobsiegel.net.
This is Bob Siegel inviting you to tune in for the Rick Amato Show four nights a week here on 1170 KCBQ. Rick stays on top of the issues local and national. He also does some of the most stimulating interviews you've ever heard. That's the Rick Amato Show, Monday through Thursdays from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. here on Intelligent Talk 1170 KCBQ. You can also find Rick on AmatoTalk.com.
We now return to the Bob Siegel Show.
Well, we're down to our last segment. Time flies when you're discussing a quality program like Lost. And Mark and I, as you've listened to our different review shows over the years, you know how critical we are, but we're both telling you, if you're one of the ones that needs to catch up on this on DVD, this is really, in my opinion, just about the best television drama series that they've ever had.
And I would agree with that, but I'd say catch up with it on Blu-ray, not on DVD, okay. But that's where, see, we have to differ somewhere, so. Okay, one more character I wanted to bring up before we talk about the smoke monster to end the series, because the smoke monster really is the key to the whole show, but there's a character named Saeed. He's a torturer from Iraq. He's had a very dark and
sordid
past.
Saeed, the lovable terrorist.
Yes. So yeah, he wasn't a terrorist. Come on, he was just a murderer.
Well, they actually had one episode. I think they were out three seasons into it where they found out that he learned all his terrorist torture techniques from
Americans,
the United States.
Yeah, because they
just
yeah,
had they just had to throw that
he,
in.
He was well, though it made sense though, because it was more about him being given no choice. You know, he's being forced into this to choose this bad life. I mean, like Benjamin Linus, he could have chosen to say no and been thrown into prison, or he could have tortured his friend. And
well, he was definitely a great character on
right.
the show.
So that their choices play a big role in the show as well. So I don't think they were making a specific comment about American anything. It was just the choice Saeed faced. But Saeed actually is killed in the show at one point. At the end of season 5, he's shot in the stomach. At the beginning of season 6, he's given a faith healing of sorts. He's put into a fountain, and he is healed. When they pull him out of the fountain, then now they drown him in this water. Okay, he literally drowns. They pull him out. His arms are spread wide like a cross. I mean, it is so obvious. Now, Charlie, I'd have to go back and watch that when I already talked about Charlie. But Saeed, there's no question whatsoever. His arms are spread wide. Look like you're on a cross, Saeed. That's what you're supposed to do in this episode. He comes back to life. And then the thing is, though, he's given a message. They're given a message saying, if this guy dies, everyone is doomed. Okay. Well, what happens is he goes to the dark side, so to speak. He joins with the smoke monster after we're told if he dies, everyone's doomed. But he does the wrong thing. And however, it still plays out in the two episodes ago. Saeed actually saves everybody by sacrificing himself. He actually says, look, it's not me, it's you, Jack. And he carries he runs away with a bomb, blows himself up to save everyone else. So if he had died in the episode at the beginning of the season, they would have been doomed, just like the note said. So those are the interesting things that play out, but also the very Christian symbol. And you know, it takes time to wonder why he would be in this Christ position and take on the evil role through much of this season.
Now, Mark, I can't help but notice that you haven't found any in-depth symbolism for Shannon, the blonde twit from season 1.
Yeah, the most hated. Oh, her. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay, that's too long ago to talk about.
So was she important
to
the story, or was she just there as eye candy?
I don't know.
What was the deal with Shannon?
I'm not sure. I mean, there were people that obviously played a role, but then they killed. And that's one of the other good things.
Of course,
I
actually
Lost.
Liked her, but then she was killed by Anna Lucia, who I couldn't stand.
Who I did
stand.
Not like, yeah.
And then I was just starting to like Anna Lucia once he's landed, and then they
then
killed her
she's
off.
Killed, yeah. So, I mean, it's gnarly. The show is gnarly. People die. You never know who's going to... Well, now you know who's going to die because you've been listening to us, but, you know, you never know who's going to die. Okay, now, the mythology of Lost sort of revolves around the island being the cap to hell, so to speak, to keep the devil in. Not let him free. It sort of reminds me of Revelation, where the devil, it says in Revelation, he's held
abyss.
In chains for 1,000 years.
Yes.
Yeah. And so it's almost like that. I think that may have been part of their inspiration. I don't know, but that's my take. You see the smoke monster, he's very evil. He tells half truths, he tells lies, he does, you know, everything for his own good. He wants off the island, and their whole goal is to keep him on the island. And it's revealed that this Jacob character that Benjamin Linus killed, people that were on the plane at the beginning in season one, episode one, many of those people are potential replacements for Jacob, and they're there to keep the smoke monster on the island. But the replacement has not yet been chosen, and we don't know how that's all going to work out yet. But what's really interesting, I mean, this is, again, the part of the mythology. Now, the most recent episode, this has been one of the most controversial episodes ever because several characters died two episodes ago. And then they air this episode where they go back and explain Jacob and the origin of the smoke monster.
And that explanation left me with more questions than answers.
And they make a joke in the episode where there's this mother figure who's crazy. Imagine that, a mother on the island who's crazy, says, the more questions you ask me, the more answers you ask me for, the more questions you will have, which is sort of a joke about Lost because that's basically what has been happening throughout the series. Basically, it's two brothers, twin brothers are born. And what I found interesting is the smoke monster has sort of taken on the name of Esau in Lost mythology on the internet.
No, I thought about Esau. I don't remember him taking on his name.
He doesn't.
Oh, he doesn't. Okay.
Yeah, but why would they pick that name specifically for him? That's a very biblical
reference. Wait.
I'm talking about people on the internet.
On the internet. Okay. Yeah. It wasn't in the episode.
No.
Because while I was watching the episode, I was wondering if they were going to start
never
calling
named.
Him Esau.
Still okay. Never named.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah.
But he is like Esau. So it's again, pointing back to the Bible, people recognize that enough to name this character in discussions. They actually associate him with Esau enough to give him that name, even though it's never, ever, ever stated in an episode or by a writer or anything. So that's an interesting aspect. Anyway, what happens is, and what's very interesting about this episode, Jacob we have seen as the good guy throughout the mythological, spiritual aspects of Lost. We learn in the episode that, you know, he's got his brother. Now, in what happens is, though, is Jacob, the brother kills the mother, immediately regrets it. Jacob won't listen to reason and basically kills his brother.
Which is not the kind of thing you're expecting Jacob
to do. Exactly. And throws him into this pit, this one of these great electromagnetic fields. And his brother's body goes in, and the smoke monster is released.
Which makes us think, at least at that moment, that his brother became the smoke monster.
Because the brother is the form we see the smoke monster in the very first time we see the brother, you know, at the beginning of this season or the end of last season. The first time we see Jacob bodily is with that brother figure. Well, my theory, and this is, you know, there are lots of Lost theories out there. We'll find many discussions, but my theory is that a lot of people have wondered, what happened there? The brother became the smoke monster. Well, actually, what I believe is the brother was dead and released the smoke monster from hell. Jacob inadvertently released the devil from hell.
That makes more sense, because if he transformed into the smoke monster, then you'd have to wonder why his lifeless body is still sitting there.
Right, and they find his lifeless body. The other thing is that in the form that the smoke monster is in now, he's in the form of Locke, who is dead. Very dead before he even gets to the island a second time. His dead body is brought to the island. The smoke monster takes on Locke's form, knows what happened to Locke, that knows his memories the moment he died, and even says some of the lines that Locke himself said earlier in the show. So we know it's not Locke, but he knows all this stuff about Locke, takes on his memories and his attitudes. So it makes sense that the brother is dead, and the smoke monster takes the form of the brother, but is not the brother. So that's something that I believe has played out in this previous episode. But what's kind of chilling about the episode is that Jacob, the guy that we have seen protecting everybody, picking the candidates, protecting the island, is the one who released the devil from hell by accident. And I think that's a really awesome element to Lost. Whether that will actually play out, we don't know. This is one of the few times I'm making a theory and a prediction, but there it is.
Well, we made a few of them, which is good, because otherwise we would date this show far too quickly.
Right.
Well, Mark, it's going to be exciting because we have one more episode on Tuesday night, and then Sunday night next week is the last episode, which means if you're listening to our repeat broadcast on Saturday night, from your point of view, it's tomorrow to talk about time and space and electromagnetic physics. Okay, we will see you next week. Next week, we'll return to current events and theology, but we wanted to take kind of an interesting Lost break this week. We'll see you.